They say you should trust the Lord every day, probably all day long, and even in the morning. Because if you're depending on a computer to spit out your notes, and it doesn't, you go out into the shop, and you take your big sledgehammer and smash that thing. The smithereens. Because that's what happened. Well, I didn't smash it. I brought it here because I thought my lease would be able to retrieve the file. And she said no. So I'm going to smash it when I get home. So, anyway, we will do what we can with up there, that gray matter, and with the Lord's help, the Lord will, I'm sure, the meeting's going to be shorter, but that's okay. And let's commit them to ourselves. So, Father, thank you. Once again, what a tremendous God we have. We're so grateful for your blessing upon us, for looking after us. And Father, we just commit ourselves to you this morning, knowing that you have everything under control. And we depend upon you, and your word is powerful. And so we just pray that you would open it up for us this morning, that we might enjoy the word together as we commit ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles to my last part of Mark, Mark chapter 16 and beginning in verse 9. And actually I had much time because I was down in Ospakoon, and then I wasn't speaking then, and then so I had fair amount of time to look at this every once in a while, and then I thought, you know what, there's hardly any verses there. There are only five verses, and you've got to camp on each one, and then it's broken up into two sections too. So it's like, I remember one time I worked in the bush, and I'm going to get back to that, and I was in my first job actually, and as you tell, I'm using up time, man. Yeah. But it's interesting. And it goes along with this. So anyway, I was a greenhorn, and I didn't know much about anything yet. I was only 17. And so I worked as a skidder helper, like the machine would come in and they would take the logs out. And I was the guy who had to go and scout out where the logs were for the operator and blaze a trail to where they were. And then hook them up and then hook them onto the cable. And wintertime was a bad time. You know, I'd go up hills with snowshoes on and you got pretty buffed with all the hard work. Because I was the helper, they would get me to go into the bush on the weekends because they were building roads. They needed to build roads for the trucks to take the logs out. And so the bulldozers would be working quite a bit more than the other people. So they needed a helper to keep the brush cleared away from and so on. And I was that guy. So because I was a little guy and young, and so I could work hard. So anyway, I remember one time the bulldozer was going along the road, along the bank, and he says, I've been scraping away at this rock, he said, trying to scrape up enough dirt, he said, to fill the hole. He said, there's hardly any dirt around here. Well, yeah, I only have five verses, And I have to fill in the time. Okay. I also, when I was looking at this, I also held back a bit about how much material I was going to present, because I didn't know how much repetition, because this person, who is the key person in the first part of this, is mentioned a few times. And I thought, I wonder how much time they're going to take on that, the other guys. You know? So they're going to steal my thunder every time I turn. So I'm not going to say anything until later. And then Michael, he had the last kick at her in chapter 16, verse 1. And so, but he didn't say that much, which was okay, because then I thought, okay, there we have some material to tell you this morning. And then the Lord fixed it really good, because I don't have any material. Okay. So let's read. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, that is Jesus, they did not believe. And after that he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. All right, so it's hard to actually fill in the order of events. A little bit difficult. And so as I was doing this, and then recalling a little bit back into my notes, that the times, the different times, it seems like Mary Magdalene visited this twice. So because this word all taught to fit well with the other accounts in the Gospels. And so there, and then this passage represents two events, two appearances of Jesus. And this is the first appearance here. So it says, when he arose early in the morning, when he rose very early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. And so that was on the first day. And then the second appearance is in verse 12. And then who was it he appeared to? Well, it was Mary Magdalene. And why did she come? Why was she there so early in the morning? Well, she, because it was in verse, it says in verse 1, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. So that's why she had come. She came over to anoint him. And she came early. And she brought spices. And what did really that say about her, that she brought spices? Well, one thing is she was, like it was, she wanted to anoint him. She wanted to honor the Lord Jesus. And she loved him, of course. But also, it says another thing about her that maybe you haven't picked up. And that is that she didn't expect him to rise from the dead. Right? Because she brought spices. Why would you anoint somebody with spices if they weren't going to, if, you know, they were dead? If they're alive, you wouldn't have to worry about that. So they didn't, she didn't do that. So, and then she didn't expect him to rise. So, and that, why was she going to do it though? What was the reason for anointing a body with spices? Do you know? The Jews really didn't practice embalming. So why did she do it? Well, remember back when Jesus was with Mary and Martha, and they went away, and Lazarus was sick, and what happened? He died. And so he said, I must go back. He tells them, they were away. He said, I must go back, and because Lazarus is sleeping. And then he waited a couple more days. And it was 4 days. And then he said, he came, and then he finally told him, Lazarus is dead. And so he was going to go and help him rise. So he called him. That's a really interesting story, you know, because Lazarus was in the tomb, bound up in grave clothes, and when they opened it, he said, open the thing. Well, they said, by this time, he's going to really be stinking. He's going to smell really bad. Have you ever smelled a dead body? I'm not talking about a human body. I'm just talking about an animal or something. Sometimes I come across dead animal in the bush, and oh, man, it would gag a maggot. Well, actually, there's maggots in it. Anyway, the maggots really have got a good stomach. But it's really bad. And then, so that's why they anointed them with spices. In fact, Sid was talking about that Nicodemus brought 75 pounds there in his message. That's a lot. And so they were going to come and anoint him again. But their biggest problem was, their problem was, not so much, they knew by now, or they accepted the fact that he was dead, but that who was going to open the door? Who was going to roll the stone away? And so they didn't have to, because Jesus had the angels rolled it away so they could look in, and he wasn't there. Isn't that something? Nobody was home. And so Mary didn't have to embalm him, but to place this, anoint him with spices. And so then it says too that now when he rose early in the morning, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast 7 demons. Have you ever thought of that? 7 demons. What did she do? The character of Mary, as we as portrayed to us in the scriptures, is a really, really nice woman, right? What was the reason that she was demon possessed before? And Jesus had to deliver her from that terrific life that she had. It's one thing to be addicted to drugs, alcohol, or whatever, and to be dependent upon. You can be addicted or dependent upon medication. Right? Yes. And to the point of, if you take too much of it, you become really addicted to it and you can't get off it. And your life is really controlled by something else. And so many people are going through a terrific lifestyle. Yesterday, we were at a gathering for my sister and her son's birthday, but my sister's is a year ago, my brother-in-law died. And so they thought they'd get together with the family. And so Elaine and I went, and there was quite a number. My youngest brother and my another sister, I had I have four sisters. One's dead, died just a couple years ago, and one of the sisters, they went fishing, not knowing that this was going to take place, this event, so they weren't there. But anyway, just none of my family is saved but me. And so there I am. And their lifestyle is pretty different than mine. And there isn't anyone hardly there that I knew that wasn't divorced or something, or either getting a new partner or getting rid of one, whatever, you know. I mean, can you imagine that? Like, without the Lord, and without the Lord, Mary was demon-possessed. Living a lifestyle, unreal, wasn't it? I mean, it was so bad. How? She was so controlled by them and didn't have a mind of her own, and she was just doing the things that, whatever that, those demons. But I can't figure out why. And then I was thinking about the one in Mark chapter 9. Just turn there for a minute, in Mark chapter 9. I usually write, because my hands are so full of arthritis, I usually write the passage out so I don't have to turn to it. But things are different this morning. So, Mark chapter 9, and then they, after they come down from the mountain, there's an altercation here, and verse 9, yeah, and whoever, where is it, where is this one now? Okay, verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to him, "You deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him, "Why could we not cast him out?" So he said to them, "This kind cannot come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." This is not the same passage that I thought it was, but there's another one that, remember when he said that, how long he's been like this, and because a child, it was a child, and he'd been thrown into the fire. This guy had even, his son had been thrown into the fire. What's that? Verse 21?
Yeah.
Matt 9?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's the one I'm thinking about. Yes. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And so immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, "You deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out to him," and came out and entered him no more. But here is Mary Magdalene possessed by seven spirits, why? And why would a child be? It wasn't that they had done anything really severely bad yet. And so why, how come? There's questions that I had about that. And I actually didn't spend a lot of more time on it, but the fact of the matter is that there are those evil spirits who are in the world today and doing amazingly, disastrously things. Yet in North America, we don't hear of it like they do in Africa and other places. Like I've seen when I was in Zambia, the first time I was there, this lady just outside, not very far away, and all of a sudden, the most hideous cry and thrashing, right, jumped up, and their body was like thrown down, and she's like she's in a seizure or something, crying out though, and terrible things that the demonic activity going on right there, because it's quite common for them. Here, I was reading about this fellow's deceptive description of what demons are in North America, what he thought of them. And he said, well, he said, and referring to this, that passage in Mary Magdalene, the seven demons, said because back then in that Eastern culture, and they didn't know, they were ignorant of the fact of epilepsy and other things. So therefore, they were mistaken. But here in the Western world, we scientific, medical science have proven that it's epilepsy and other things, not demonic. But the church, in order to support their claims of Jesus, have to go along with it. But we know better now. So, there they have it. So we know better. I remember just about a couple of years ago, three or four years ago, getting medication for my arthritis. And I hadn't been on medication. And I thought I would try it. And so as I went and they looked at my records, they said, you should be way more deformed than you are. What's the main reason that you attribute to not being more deformed? Because your record really proved that you have had severe rheumatoid arthritis. And I said, well, I got the biggest support from fasting. And she started to laugh. And I thought she was mocking me. And she said, did you know in the 40s that fasting was the main remedy for arthritis? She said, but we're much smarter now. And you don't have to starve yourself. We can do it with medication. I should have stayed on the medication. I mean, on the fasting. I should have stayed on the fasting because I'm having trouble with medication. So, why the demons? We are influenced as Christians by demons, but we're not possessed, but we are influenced. We see all kinds of addictions that are out of control, and here Mary Magdalene was controlled by it. So then, these demons were possessing her. Mark makes a point of this, maybe to show which Mary it is. And there were six Marys. If you look at them, there's quite noble women who did amazing things. And this Mary, Magdalene, is the second Mary that is mentioned. But the first Mary is the mother of the Lord Jesus. But it wasn't attributed to her to be the first one to witness the Lord's death. I mean, the resurrection. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So then Mary, Magdalene, is really, really excited, of course, when she finds out that Jesus is alive. And so after And she greedy. When she sees him, supposing him to be the gardener, and she comes, and then he reveals himself to her that he is Jesus. She goes, she was joyous to no end. And so after composing herself, she was given the task to tell others. And remember, she was overjoyed, and she clung to him. And he tells her to stop hanging on to me, that he must go to the Father shortly. And I can imagine the woman-like response, eh? Like, I can imagine my wife. You know, if something happened to my son, any of my boys, and she thought they might have died, or whatever, you would kind of put yourself into that position. And they're not, you know, and they would hug them, you know, hang on to, like, for, you know, and Mary did that, and he had a prayer. Or he said, don't hang on to me anymore, and not in rebuke, but in that he had a goal, and so she wanted to keep him. I was just thinking, do you like him that much? Do you hang on to him every morning? Do you cling to him in your devotions? I remember one morning I got up, and it was a beautiful summer morning, and I sat on my chair, and I had my cup of coffee, and I had my feet up, and I opened my Bible, and I started to read, and I thought, the Lord's hugging me. I just felt his embrace. Have you ever felt that? The Lord's embrace. He was pleased that I was reading his word and enjoying him. We were enjoying each other, you know. There was Mary. I mean, she didn't want to let him go. And for good reason. So then she had the task to tell them, and she went. They went. She went, and in verse 10 it says, she went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. How often had they been told that this was going to happen? Over and over again, I must go up to Jerusalem and be delivered to the elders and the priests and those, and they will kill the Son of Man, and he'll be in the grave, and he will rise the third day. He told them many times, and they went right over their head. In fact, one time they had an argument who would be the greatest right after he told them that, in the heavens, in his kingdom. Anyway, they mourned and wept. They knew, or should have known, that he repeatedly told them he must die and rise again. They could have saved themselves a lot of tears, right? This is going to happen. And they really were sorrowful, really sorrowful. Well, they were all sorrowful. And Mary was sorrowful until she had the first glimpse. So she wasn't as sorrowful as long as them. But then when they heard, they did hear the message. They heard the message. I was just thinking about it. If I would have stood up yesterday, and no one would have heard me. If I would have told them all there together, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for them, they would have turned me off. There would be no hearers. No one wants to hear that. You know that. No one wants to hear the good news that Jesus died for them. They think you're some wacko. But it's the truth of the matter is, my brother, on the, as he was leaving, he was all fluff and everything else while we were there. Then as he got in the truck and left, he said to me, because we don't see each other that often, he said to me, "I think a lot of you," he said. "I think of you often." And I said, "I think of you too." He didn't know how I thought of him. I prayed for him often. He said, and he got my hand and he held on. He said, "We need to get together more." I'm thinking that he's thinking about his life. Hopefully that's what he's thinking. They couldn't hear in this. They didn't hear. They heard her, but they didn't really hear her, that he was alive. Jesus is alive. That's what I want to tell my brother. Jesus is really alive. And you need to trust him as your Savior. Anyway, when they did not believe it, it says. They didn't believe it. They were just too caught up in the morning. And then they were so convinced that it was over with. Now, the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet to them. And so it's hard to be hard on them. But you see the price they would pay later. There was a big deal to happen yet. And so they sold out their lives for the Lord after. But right now they were pretty skeptical. And a sorry lot. And you know what? Can you imagine Mary though? Here, she's on cloud 10, not 9. She's right up into the heavenlies. she's so excited when she tells them. You know, have you ever brought someone a bad report? It's hard, eh? It's hard to bring a bad news. I remember bringing to my wife's mother the death of her father. That was a hard, really hard thing. It was hard to bring a bad news. Mary had brought good news, tremendously good news, and received rejection. She was so full of joy. Can you imagine how she felt when they wouldn't believe her? And so, wasn't long though, as they went and found out themselves. remember when Joshua and Caleb came back from spying out the land with the other 10, and they all gave a bad report. And they said, "No, no, no! This is really good. This is really good." And the two could not outweigh the rest. And so, set a course of history, didn't it? Oh, if they would have only believed. What if the disciples would have turned away and said, "No, we don't believe him. We're not going to go any farther than this." Well, some of them did take off. And so he had to chase them down, didn't he? Then the next part is on that, isn't it? It's on the road to Emmaus. After that, he appeared to the other form. This form that's speaking of here is meaning is used in Philippians, even though he existed in the form of God, but did not require, in Philippians, and humbled himself. That is in form. He took on form of a man. And even though he existed in the form of God, he took on the form of man. This is the form. And he changed his form. So they didn't recognize him on the road to the Emmaus. It says he existed, he went to them in a different form. And you look up the word there and you'll see it's only three times is mentioned. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. They didn't believe either. How disheartening. They turned around all the way from way up north and came all the way back to Jerusalem. That's a long way, it's a long journey, to tell somebody that they didn't believe. Shortly they did. I was just thinking in closing, these Marys, I looked up the numbers of the Marys, and they did really, all of them did noble things, opened their homes and different things. One of the Marys was the one that went to, in Acts, when Peter was in prison, and they were praying, they had a prayer meeting. It was her, Mary, opened up her home, and they had their prayer meeting. And then the angel got Peter out of the prison, locked in the house, and then he came to the door, Rhoda came to the door, in Mary's house, to open it, and they didn't believe it. Nobody can. They were praying for it, and they didn't. You pray for something and not believe it's going to happen? We should have to believe that we prayed for is going to happen. And so anyway, that is the Mary, the other Mary. And I was thinking about all the Marys and all the ladies, women, who have done, you women here, have done great things, done a lot of good things. And a lot of good things are done, attributed to women. Men are harder to win. You know, there's a lot of children's work going on. And if you reach a child, you might reach the mother. If you reach the mother, you might reach the child. But if you reach the father, you reach the whole family. Men are needed. When I think of the different, all the patriarchs, all the prophets who suffered, and Ezekiel said, God is asking, as I've searched all over, that someone would stand in the gap. And I found no one. We need men today. Men have been put down. As soon as a man tries to stand up, he's knocked down. And we have so many young boys being raised by moms. And there's no dad, no father figure. I thank God for my father. He wasn't a good man, but he was a man. And he was rugged, and he taught us how to work. If it hadn't been for that, I wouldn't be here. I think that by the better man is one who is a real man. I'm talking about a real man. Jesus was not a fluff. He wasn't feministic looking that we see him on the cross, dressed like a woman. No, he was a rugged guy. He was a carpenter. When he took his hand, you knew. Rugged. We portray the wrong Jesus. He was lowly, merciful, and all that, full of grace and truth. But he was also a man when he was here. And we portrayed the wrong thing to our boys. We used to take young men, young boys, on canoe trips and show them a rugged man style who loved the Lord. For years we did it. You can't do that anymore because you would get sued if anything happened. And they got their feet wet. Anyway, pray for men. Pray for courageous men like Joshua and Caleb. Elijah and Elisha and Daniel and the rest. Just all those men that tremendously made an impact in the world. There are men who are making an impact, but we need strong men who love the Lord to be men of God, who love their wives, who love their children. God bless you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love to us. Thank you for the word of God that we commit ourselves to you as we part, knowing you have answers to life. Your ways are unsearchable. Your ways are true and honest, and we can depend on them. We can depend on this book, this great book, the Bible, that just guides us through this life we're in. And Father, we pray that we'd be influential in this world. May we do the right thing. May we just, as we meet our relatives and so on, and associate with them, may we rub off something of the Lord Jesus to the point where they might ask, what's the hope we have? And my brother and others, Father, all these people we have are associated with, we pray that we'd be an influence on them in some way. Just bless us as a chapel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.